This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson, and we're talking about the culture of today's South Africa. William Kentridge is the global star from the South African art world. His work has been a critical and commercial success for a couple of decades now. Starting in the 1980s, Kentridge made animated films that depicted the brutality of apartheid from a startling personal perspective. Fighting the Good Fight runs in his family. His parents, who are lawyers, were famous in the white opposition to apartheid. Kara Oler asked William Kentridge about one of his most haunting animated films called Ubu Tells the Truth.
At the beginning of Ubu Tells the Truth, we see Ubu. He's a pear-shaped little figure with a pointy head, and he's based on a character from an old French political satire. For a cartoon, Ubu is menacing.
His arms are spiked like a sword or like the edge of a tripod.
He looks like a little dictator with arms made of swords, almost like a KKK grand wizard. Suddenly, he transforms into a camera.
And what he films is kind of the history of his horrors.
Ubu represents the security police in South Africa during apartheid.
The security policemen in South Africa, on whom Ubu is based, were endlessly recording all of the terrible things they did. And that kind of strange mixture of cruelty and vanity is one of the attributes of Ubu.
That strange mixture haunted William Kentridge. As a white liberal South African, was he a protester, a witness, a participant?
When you can't get any distance from an event you've gone through, then it becomes an unviable way of living in the world.
For decades, he's been making drawings and animated movies to help himself come to terms with having lived and survived apartheid.
The security police blew people up with parcel bombs. Former super spy Craig Williamson admitted to the parcel bombs that killed Ruth First and Jeanette and Katrine Schoen. The security police had a technical division which specialized in the building of such devices.
Now I see a black tripod sending off a parcel bomb. And this is a reference to someone I was at university with who became a police spy and worked in the bomb-making department.
This man's job was to build bombs and mail them to anti-apartheid activists. And this former classmate sent a bomb to one of Kentridge's own friends.
To a friend of mine who was working for the ANC.
The African National Congress.
And the bomb arrived in this parcel and was unwrapped, and the mother was with her son when this parcel was unwrapped, and they were blown up by it.
As Ubu Tells the Truth unfolds, we see bones flowing out of a shower head.
Bones floating down through the sky, severed hands, feet at a plug hole.
But then things change. We discover that this personification of evil has a dream life.
We now have Ubu's dream of a very beautiful, lush woman who is dancing to this traditional Afrikaans pop song.
There's always a question, what is the best way of representing social calamities. And tragedy, it seems to me, is always inadequate.
So he includes these other things, these reveries, these dreams, and even little comedic scenes.
And we now shift to a duet between a cat and a radio.
Like a dancing cat or the naked lady in the shower. He says comedy creates distance, a necessary distance.
But to be human at all is to say, we need to forget a huge amount, but hold on to a tiny amount. Or there's some band between remembering and forgetting that we, in which we can survive and exist.
To make an animated drawing, Kentridge tacks a piece of paper on the wall. He takes a charcoal pencil and begins to draw, photographs it, erases a line, adds a few more lines, and photographs again. It's a process he made up. He calls it Stone Age animation. He might reuse the same sheet for 30 different drawings. He draws, clicks, erases. But he can never erase the lines completely. They're always there.
So in themselves, they refer to process, to decay, to time passing. And when you talk about decay and time passing in human terms, that always has to do with memory and the failure of memory. And the failure of memory both as kind of what we need and as a failing, as something we regret.
After apartheid ended, the government created the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
It's now 18 minutes past 7. South Africans are weeping. The raw pain and deep emotion of the Truth Commission hearings have brought tears.
Victims told stories of crimes committed against them, murderers of their families. Police and officials confessed to those crimes.
I hit Mr. Kalata from behind with this heavy iron object, approximately where the head joins the neck.
And Ubu tells the truth. Kentridge animates these confessions, like this one.
Now we have a section which the security police wrote about of shooting someone, and we see a body being shot by the Ubu tripod, and then putting underneath the body an explosive, the way bodies would be blown up with explosive to hide the evidence, the pieces gathered together, again by the tripod, another explosive device put underneath them and then blown up again.
You might take this as a metaphor, but it's not. Kentridge says this happened.
Till in the end there is nothing left, and the policeman would come home from work saying that they just smell of blood and dynamite. And in the end the body parts are blown to smithereens and just exist as dots of light or stars in a night sky.
Officials who confessed were granted amnesty. Commentators outside of South Africa thought this was enlightened, and Mandela was praised for leading the country on the path to healing. But the more confessions Kentridge heard, the more intolerable he found the pardons. Ubu tells the truth provokes the audience to think about this irony.
And here we have the final part of the film of the stars in the night sky, and Kenneth Kaunda, the leader of Zambia, singing a song about Mandela just before his release.
In the 13 years since Ubu tells the truth, Kentridge has become one of the most beloved contemporary artists today. And though he stayed in South Africa, even in the house where he grew up, he's moved away from apartheid as his main subject. He recently addressed some of the horrors of Stalinism in his staging of an opera by Shostakovich. But even though his work is political, it isn't about setting a model for political art.
Insofar as there's a polemic, it's a polemic about uncertainty and not having an answer and not having a manifesto. I mean, behind every manifesto stands a policeman with a big stick to beat anyone who doesn't absorb the words. So it's a politics interested in an absence of that.
And in finding that narrow, livable band between remembering and forgetting. For Studio 360, I'm Kara Oler.
A retrospective of the great William Kentridge's work was in several U.S. museums this past year and is now on its way overseas. You can see some of his work in video at studio360.org.